The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
There goes the Daverhood. Welcome to Dave's Gone By, an hour of talk radio, comedy, and music. Brought to you every week on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport and live streaming on davesgoneby.com. We've got special guests. We have comedy. We have political talk. We have humor. We have so much. A very special show for you tonight, especially because no beheadings. That's right. Not one severed noggin. I know they're all the rage right now. I know that seems to be the latest form of reality programming. Kidnap somebody, put him on the internet, wait a couple of days, and then do a Ginsu on his gullet. I don't think Jerry Springer ever went that far. He kind of stopped with chairs being broken over people's heads, but it is the next step. It's the swan, or extreme makeover, with the surgeon getting just a tad careless with a scalpel. And it's hard to say who started it, us or them. Nicholas Berg was obviously the blockbuster, the Rocky One. When his head rolled onto the internet, you knew that was going to be the start of something big. You knew the Arabs had found their godfather, you know, the picture that saves the studio. But they said, true or not, that the video decapitation was just a response to the photos and footage coming out of Abu Ghraib. Pictures of prisoners being pulled on leashes, stripped naked, making human pyramids, you know, the guy on the box with a hood on his head and wires in his hands. These humiliations were, arguably, as incendiary to devout Muslims as the head slicing is to us. And apparently there was physical torture to go along with the mental abuse. People were beaten and allegedly killed at Abu Ghraib, with some of that recorded on video that has yet to reach the public. But then you go back and say, wait a minute, these are soldiers who may have had friends or family killed in 9/11, one of the most sociopathic events in world history. They're starting to release more and more of the 9/11 stuff to the media, like flight recordings from the cockpit and air traffic control. And you've got the hijackers saying, everyone stay in your seats, don't move, there's a bomb on the airplane, we're turning back and heading to the airport. And 10 minutes later, they're landing on the 38th floor of One World Trade Center. So, when you're dealing with these animals, when you're dealing with an extremist Arab culture that accepts torture and murder as part of the overall administration of social justice, it's understandable that a few of our soldiers and contractors decided to make their own little S&M video starring enemy prisoners. It's not right. But again, if we had attacked Iraq a month or two after 9/11, rather than 2 years later, and those Abu Ghraib pictures came out, everyone in America, except for a few far-left liberals, would be like, yeah, yank that towel-headed cab driver around the floor. Let that German shepherd chew a chunk out of Mustafa's crotch. It's like when they delayed the release of Spider-Man so they could edit out images of the World Trade Center. Timing is everything. President Bush waited 2 years too long to invade Iraq, not on moral or political grounds, just on aesthetic principles. By the time we got to see our boys and girl mistreat their boys, it wasn't sexy anymore. It was just ooky. It played like 1950s exploitation schlock rather than 1990s psychological thriller or 1970s walking tall revenge fantasy. And it's obvious that this administration doesn't need John Ashcroft and Donald Rumsfeld and Colin Powell. It needs Bob Evans, Sherry Lansing, and Harvey Weinstein. We want Scorsese and Kurosawa. We're getting Golan Globus and Edward D. Wood. And I think we started the whole internet game of chicken. Let's not forget that when we found Saddam Hussein, amazingly enough, and all credit to our military forces, they found him, and they arrested him. What were the first images broadcast around the world? No, he was not being tortured, and he wasn't being ridiculed per se, but he certainly looked humbled with a shaggy beard and wild hair from hiding in caves for a year. and they show an American doctor with white gloves on, checking Saddam's head for lice and looking at his tonsils. Now, however much Iraqis hated and feared the Hussein regime, there's probably a touch of resentment at watching him be a guinea pig in the care of American MDs. I mean, much as I hate George Bush, much as I am praying John Kerry will kick his ass in November, much as I wouldn't mind seeing Bush humiliated once he goes back into civilian life, I don't think I would be comfortable watching him, say, extradited by Iraq with their doctors pawing him for signs of disease and decay. Our doctors, sure, but not foreign physicians, against his will. And let's not forget, as demeaning as the Saddam footage is, we also took pictures of his kids. Remember them? The Menendez twins, Uday and Kusei, by all accounts, miserable monsters. We got them, we took them off the planet, and the administration was so proud of that that those pictures went all over the world. If you don't believe me, if you've never seen them, just do a Google image search on the word Uday, U-D-A-Y. You'll see him and his brother looking their post-slaughter best. Now, that might have made a lot of average middle-class Iraqis happy, but the Hussein loyalists probably saw those photos and said, I wonder what the Bush kids would look like drowned in camel piss. One thing is clear. America has been playing video poker with extreme footage just as much as these terrorists. You can't see the Paul Johnson or Nick Berg videos or the Korean guy through Google or Yahoo. I think they might categorize those killings as obscene, or at least messy. But I know Matt Drudge has the Johnson photos. DrudgeReport.com is the URL, and they have three pictures of Paul Johnson. One with a knife over his face, another with some unseen a-hole carrying his bloody head, and a third with Johnson's head resting comfortably on his lower back. DrudgeReport.com has these, and I can just see everybody out there listening, a third of you taking down the URL, and you can't resist the urge to see the pictures for yourselves. Another third thinking, oh God, I can't believe they'd show pictures of this. That's just not right. And then the last third, my third, thinking, it sounds so horrible, but I gotta see it. Do I want to see it? No, I don't want to say, yes, I do want to see it. Is my interest pornographic or truth-seeking? Is it like a horror movie or not so bad? Well, I personally never saw the Nick Berg footage, and now I think it's almost impossible to. They basically removed it from the Internet, they being whoever controls the Internet, which technically is not supposed to be controlled by anybody. But anyway, Matt Drudge has a couple of those photos of the Nick Berg decapitation. It's hard to search for them, but if you go to drudgereport.com/iiraq3.htm, that's iiraq3.htm, you can see rather poor quality vid caps of Berg's top getting the chop. It's gruesome, but it does register. And that was the Arabs' mistake with Daniel Pearl. They've got to get the Panasonic camcorder running. If you're going to sacrifice an innocent American Jew for the cause of Islam, the least you can do is hit record play, you know? I mean, I think the funny thing is about the Berg video is that suddenly there's still all the speculation that it wasn't real. Here it is. They show it on tape, seemingly incontrovertible proof. They showed the still photos, and yet there remains doubt because there were apparently gaps in the footage, so he may have been already dead when they cut his head off. Or it wasn't really Al-Qaeda or Al-Zarqawi, or that the Berg video was actually staged at Abu Ghraib, of all places. Now, I'll bet the Arabs sent out the Paul Johnson photographs just to prove they were really savages. Just to say, hey, look, guys, how many people do we have to slaughter in cold blood before you take our beautiful religion seriously? So, I think we're just beginning to see the next phase of the so-called war on terror, the image phase. We've technically won the war over there and in Afghanistan, so now it's going to be a media fight. There won't just be kidnappings and tortures and cranial amputations. They'll be choreographed with an eye towards how they look to the lens of a JVC. Pretty soon you'll get directors whose specialty it is to stage massacres, especially for video. guys who know just which angle to turn the disembodied head so that the dripping blood doesn't look like chocolate syrup in black and white. And there'll be some guy going, all right, I need everyone to recite the afternoon prayer together, or it's just going to sound like one big garble. Now, Muhammad, if you could hand the sword to Muhammad and then pass it on to Muhammad, who'll make the initial swing, I think we'll have a very fluent sequence. And folks, let's get this while we still have the natural light streaming through the cellar window, okay? All right, quiet on the war zone. Cue the singing corpse. Look what they've done to my head, Ma. Look what they've done to my head. Well, they hacked it off with a giant sword and left me lying dead, Ma. Look what they've done to my head. They put my face on the net, Ma. They put my face on the net. We changed regimes, but it don't seem to make no difference yet, Ma. They put my face on the net. They made me read the Koran, man. They made me read the Koran. But I crossed my fingers and bit my tongue and cursed the name Allah, Ma. So now I'm buried in dung. Oh, look what they've done to my head, Ma. Look what they've done to my head. Well, they tied it up in a plastic bag before I was even dead, Ma. Look what they've done to my head. One day these Muslims will pay, Ma. One day these Arabs will pay. They'll pay in blood and burning flesh for what they've done today, Ma. One day these scumbags will pay. Oh, look what they've done to your son, Ma. Look what they've done to your son. Well, they slaughtered me and martyred me, and now my song is done, Ma. Look what they've done, now I'm gone.
That'll be on the Riyadh Billboard charts any day now, but get used to it, folks. We may be looking at the new Hollywood, a whole new breed of exterminographers, a way station for auteurs to prove themselves between doing commercials and getting their first feature. Of course, there's always the old-style way of movie-making, where it's all fake and no one has to die for real. Maybe a bit passé, but there are still some folks out there trying to make TV shows and documentaries and movies. And it just so happens, I have a couple of those folks here as my guests tonight. Gosh, that's about the sickest segue I've ever done, but that's par for the course on Dave's Gone By, where one thing leads to another, from funny to serious to musical to mystifying. It's all here, 1 hour every week, Thursday night, 7 to 8 p.m., hosted by me, Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, journalist, humorist, and provocateur, and tonight's provocation will be assisted by three gentlemen, all of them named John. Sheer coincidence, just the way it worked out. And the main guy, the ringleader, if you will, well, he's a fella who's had a cable television show for a couple of years. You've probably seen it in your wanderings around the dial. And you'd know it immediately because, well, first of all, his look. If Dennis Franz, if Sipowicz on NYPD Blue had a fraternal twin, it would be this guy, John DeVito. Not the science fiction writer, those of you who are into that genre. No, this John DeVito is quite another kettle of potatoes, and he hosts a weekly program called Let's Make a Movie. In it, he doesn't actually make a movie, but he does go through the equipment and procedures of how movies are made. Now, we're not exactly talking Spielberg or the Universal Tour. We're talking on a shoestring here, sometimes without the shoes. But if you know the show, you know that there's something very lovable and endearing about it, even if you can't tell high eight from quarter inch, a tracking shot from a dissolve. It's fascinating to watch John DeVito with his thick New York accent and his trusty manual. He always has a manual. He tries to explain the mechanics of movie making, or at least the mechanics of the manual, or the camera that his wife is patiently operating. And it's a clever idea. He'll say, "This is what the picture looks like when you put the glare filter on." And she'll move a little knob. "This is what the picture looks like with the glare filter off," etc. And unfortunately, they tend to look exactly the same. That's the miracle of public access. You could show a Terrence Malick film on Channel 20, it would still look like Wayne's World. No, but I urge you to give the show a look. It's called Let's Make a Movie. And if you're still not convinced, well, stay tuned, because you'll get a taste of John DeVito, as it were, in our next segment, because John is here with another public access programmer, John McGrath, who's got a show about men's related issues, and they're both working together on some projects. And a third John, John Ambrosio, a small voice but big dreams. I can tell already with these three, it's going to be a keeper episode of Dave's Gone By, and you don't have to do anything to listen to it. No storyboard to map out, no tripod to open, no craft service table to stock. All you gotta do is keep the station right here at WGBB or live streaming at my website, davesgoneby.com. If you've got kids listening too, remember that we do rate ourselves the radio equivalent of PG-13, which is DGB-13, which means we won't say anything too offensive, just offensive enough. This is the 82nd edition of Dave's Gone By, titled Let's Make an Episode, and we'll do just that right after this.
Did you know Dave Lefkowitz of Dave's Gone By is not just a radio personality? He's also a playwright, and his book, Marriage Babies and the End of the World, is filled with the same humor he brings to his show every week. Funny, sad, and true. At only $20 hardcover, $12 trade paperback, Marriage Babies and the End of the World makes a great gift. So get your copy today. Call 516-295-1511. That's 516-295-1511. Or email davesgoneby@aol.com.
Sir, what are you doing?
Nothing.
Are you photocopying your butt?
Yeah, isn't it cool? I want to send lots of copies.
Not in a public library.
I know, it's so expensive here, 25 cents a cheek.
No, I mean, why not go to Hewlett Minuteman Press?
Hewlett Minuteman Press?
1315 Broadway in Hewlett. They can make copies, they can laminate it, print it in a booklet, put it on a mug.
My ass on a mug. Wow.
Call 516-569-5577. 516-569-5577. And hey, stop it. You can't copy that.
But what do I put on the other side of the mug?
In an ideal world, Dave's Gone By would play 24-7, but I need my beauty sleep. Should you turn WGBB off when I'm not on? No way! Here are three other shows you should listen to. Long Island's Dating, an advice and interview program for singles hosted by Bonnie D. Graham, kicking off the weekend Friday nights at 6. The Mr. Redman Music Show, independent Long Island musicians and bands. Redman plays them first, and you get to vote. Saturday nights at 7:30, and Sunday nights it's Your World with Joe Salzone, politics and current events from a conservative but open-minded perspective. Sunday nights at 7. So you see, if it can't be all Dave all the time, it can still be radio worth listening to. Long Island's Dating, Fridays at 6, Mr. Redman, Saturdays 7:30 to 9, and of course Joe Salzone, Sunday nights at 7. And during the week, all sorts of Chinese people. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport and AM 1240 WGBB.com. Time for a segment called Dave's Got Guests. And I have three guests in the studio with me today. It's going to be a fun segment. We're going to start with John DeVito. Now, you may not know this man's name, but you probably, if you have cable TV, know his face and his voice, because he's on every single week. And he has a public access show on Long Island Cable, and it's called Let's Make a Movie. And that's exactly what he is not only doing, but trying to show other people how to do. He's got his video camera, and he's got the manuals, and I think it's his wife who actually runs the camera on him, and he goes to various places and parks and stuff and talks about how to go about making movies and doing public access television. So it's a really cool and unusual and interesting show. So I thought I'd have him on my show along with some other folks who are allied with him and doing some other shows of their own. So first, I want to welcome to the neighborhood, Mr. John DeVito. Hey, John.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you. Hi, everybody. This is me, John DeVito. Those of you who are in the Woodbury and part of Suffolk County, you know who I am. Let's make a movie. Otherwise, you're sitting on your hands or what? Now, as of right now, what we're doing right now, we have a friend of mine, two friends of mine, both of them are Johns. John Ambrosio and John McGrath.
We have more Johns in the studio than a good whorehouse tonight, so it's really in good...
This is true.
Yeah.
To make a long story short, John McGrath does a co-host with Gary Costanza on, and those of you who are in the, was it, Woodbury and, was it?
Hopog Cable.
Hopog and, what is it, Brookhaven too?
Brookhaven, Woodbury.
Right, how about Riverhead? You're not there?
I believe we're going to be in Riverhead very shortly, and we're in Manhattan also.
All right, so you're going to be in Manhattan. Good. I'm still here in wonderful downtown Nassau County and Woodbury. Also, I brought my friend John Ambrosio. John is a playwright, and he's written a thing about his own life of sorts. But I told him, we're not going to use his real name because that's how you end up getting sued, by using your real name unless you feel like using it.
All right. Well, these are the three folks we've got. We've got John DeVito, who hosts Let's Make a Movie. We've got John McGrath, who hosts another show called Men's Forum, and we will be talking to him about that, and scriptwriter John Ambrosio. Now, first of all, let me, again, start with John and ask you how you went about getting... first of all, thinking of an idea for a public access program and then going out and actually doing it.
All right. What happened was I was watching public access hold for a while. And then I was told, come down to the studio and go there and get yourself training. For those of you who have seen my show, who haven't, in front of me right now is the Cablevision Public Access Training Workshop. There are 74 pages, basically how to do a TV show and basically how to do a film, like a film, like a regular film. For example, they give you like wardrobes, okay? What kind of wardrobe you might need, teleprompting and types of prompters, what you might need. Then they give you what they call jargon. Okay? For example, pan. Now, pan means you go left, you go right, and that's like trucking. Let me see. It's right here. It's right here. Okay. Pan. Moving the camera horizontally. Tilt. You go up, you go down. Dolly. You put them on wheels, and you follow the subject. Trucking. You move it sideways, you go up and down. All this you learn in how to become a TV producer or a movie producer.
And it's a course that you take. It is a free
course. It's 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's 4 hours. But here's what you have to do. You have to get sponsors. You have to get people to work with. You have to get a crew. Like both Johns who are in front of me right now, I'm working with John on his TV show.
That would be John McGrath.
John McGrath on him and co-host as on a men's subject. In my other life, people, I was a counselor, and I have proof of that, too, because I'd taken a counseling course. And John saw that. He says, would you like to be a counselor on my show? I said, I'll have to get a suit then. He said, that's what you're trying to tell me? He says, yeah, you got to get a suit. You got to wear it.
Dare I ask what you were counseling in? Was it Vietnam vets or what? Or?
No, I was doing it basic counseling. In other words, for people who had alcohol problems, drug problems. I had a course that I picked up. It was like two basic courses, how to have counseling, basically how to, you know, not get in somebody's head, but to get them out of their own heads, to make them feel like they're humans. It was
cool.
Like a quick little course. So I showed this to John, and John says, man, this is wild. How long is this? I said, it's like 30 lessons for each one of them. But I says, it's really basically how to use a little common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, John Ambrosio, he's been calling my show, and he's wanted to write something about his own life. And I says, more or less, I says, you got to stay away from that, because right now, people get a little crazy. Let's go back to what we were saying before about Cablevision.
Okay.
Not to get off the track. I need volunteers. I need help. All right? Well, I need cameramen. I need people to work the, what do you call that, John? The board?
The audio board.
Oh, the audio board. I need somebody.
Need sound men when you need
sound men. I need people to. Now, mind you, all this you learn for free. You could even take a camera out on 10 o'clock the next day, but you have to bring it back and re-sign it again to take it out again if no one is not using it or something. You could get the camera. You have to buy your own tapes. You got to find your own sponsors.
Well, the actual airtime is free. I mean, sponsorship is nice if you want to make some money, but I don't think Cablevision charges you for
it. No, they don't charge. They don't charge it, but you have to get sponsors. You have to get people to work with you.
You need money for operating your
for
own personal
stuff,
right?
Yeah,
your
for
tapes
gas
and your props and
right.
any additional stuff that's not covered by Cablevision themselves.
Well, let me ask about your show, John McGrath. You have a show called Men's Forum. That's on. Is it on Long Island Nassau Cable? Where is it? When is it on? First of all,
it's on Monday night in Suffolk County.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night in Nassau County.
What's the times on it?
Wednesday night. That's a good question. They keep changing the times. So we have to keep reissuing
right.
New time schedules.
Now, just tell me a little bit about Men's Forum.
We cover all men's related issues. You know, everything from health related issues, from prostate cancer to circumcisions.
Oh, are you for them or against?
Very touchy.
Well, in a manner of speaking,
I'm against them. I mean, personally, I mean. I was circumcised myself, and it screwed me all up. I couldn't walk for a year.
Now stop that. Just a minute. Now take a tip from me, because obviously you need one. No, but I don't know what that means. And you're also, though, aside from that show, which you've been doing for how long? How long ago has that been on since?
Oh, this has been running a little over a year now. We're in a second year now of production.
Cool. And you're thinking about doing a second program.
We have a second show that's in the works right now because it's a spinoff, actually, of a lot of the issues that were related to men were happened to be, unfortunately, the divorce industry. A lot of men, fathers, are mm-hmm. going through a lot of difficult issues in the in that arena. So the new show is called An Eye on Justice. We found that there's a lot of not-so-good things happening. There's a lot of misconceptions of what to expect in a courtroom and in that whole arena of divorce in itself. Hence, we have the merging of the two ideas of making the movie. What we want to do is put a face on the actual cases that we're hearing about and that we're talking about on the shows all the time. What we encourage people to do is to send copies of their complaint letters, because basically, as far as corruption issues and the inequities of the court system, stems a lot of complaints, and we're hearing a lot of them through the emails to the show. I can be reached at flrnowsuff@hotmail.com. flrnowsuff@hotmail.com.
Okay.
That stands for Family Law Reform Now.
Okay,
and that's familylawreformnow.org is a website. Or you can contact me at IonJusticeTV at Post Office Box 1431, East Northport, New York, 11731.
Tom?
Another thing that John and I are going to do, we're going to make stories out of some of these men who want to tell them. And I've talked to a lot of men. I said to them, look, we can't use your real name because you get sued. We know all about this. You know, We've talked to lawyers that you can make up the story, you can make up the to where it's, they know it's reality.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to take my cameras. And I said to them, we'll take my cameras and we'll do it. I talked to John about that, and John said, it's a great idea. But we have to put it down. I says, if it's public, like if we get a judge's name, you can use the judge's name.
You can. Yes, you can use the judge's name. Mm-hmm.
In other words,
right, let me just clarify one thing, because the contact information I have and the information I'm looking for,
mm-hmm.
We're also, the show, the talk show, Eye on Justice, as well as the Men's Forum, they're basically the very serious issues. And there is a Right to Privacy Act, and all material that's sent to me, to my contact information, is confidential, okay, and will not be used in the format of the TV show where we're going to disclose names and whatnot.
Cool.
What I'm trying to do is to collect and form a new database where we're going to keep records of court cases, judges' names, lawyers' names, etc. There's current legislation pending in Albany right now as far as parenting rights go, shared parenting. And they're not men-specific issues. That's why we're not handling it on the men's forum, and we're doing a different show on it, because it's basically a gender-neutral issue. Okay, so I just wanted to clarify that. I don't want anybody to panic thinking that because they send information in that we're going to take it, we're going to publicly air it all over the planet.
Because
it's not going to happen.
There's a group out here in Long Island called ALR, Americans for Legal Reform, and we have this list that they have that comes out with judges' names and lawyers' names. And it says very simply, do you have any information on these people? They've been sued 4 or 5 times, and they've won, because all of this is a matter of words, of semantics. Do you have any information on these people? And it's now public now.
Right.
There is also a national organization that does the same thing. They give you corrupt judges and lawyers, long as it's in the public eye. In other words, the judges that he had, and the judges that I've had through my times, I can put them out because it's now public...
public record.
Public record now.
Okay. Well, we're moving a bit away from the general topic of making movies and making public access television, and I also want to talk to John Ambrosio, who's been, you know, just gabbing away there with the mic off. But how did you get involved with these fellas here?
Well, actually, it started by watching John Vito's public access show. I saw one time watching television, and he was about, you know...
Turn that cell phone off!
He was telling people, you know, send in scripts. He was really wanting scripts, and I always... A dream job of mine was to be a filmmaker, and this was my opportunity, and that's why... So I called him up. He called me back, and then he told me about this interview, and that's how it really happened.
So you've written how many plays or screenplays over the past couple of, years, or since you've started writing?
Yes, a couple. Right now, I am working on one. Like I said, it's not exactly about my life, but it's based on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a thing that's to my heart that I want to do as a first film. And so I'm hoping it will work
out. What is your story? I mean, what story is that screenplay or teleplay getting across?
It's getting across basically having compassion and understanding for people who are different, really.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, everybody is different. And, you know, sometimes people are too judgmental of people. And I've always had to deal with that in my life. So it's big movie I want to make.
What do you do, by the way? What's your day job or et cetera?
Honestly, right now I'm not working right now. I had worked for a company, a shipping company,
mm-hmm.
but right now I had left that job recently because it wasn't working out.
Okay.
But now I'm, you know, this is a career move I'd like to make if possible, making films.
Best of luck with that. Now, John DeVito, just want to talk to you a little bit more still about. Okay, so you've got the show, and you have some camera equipment, and you have editing equipment over at some at your house, and some that you have at the Cablevision studios, be they at Lynbrook or Woodbury or whatever. So, but how do you go from just saying, okay, sending your script, sending your stuff, to actually making a film?
Let me run this by you. For all you people who listen to Connecticut, New York, wherever you heard, it's very simple, it's very easy. I'll give it to you simply. In the last century, by the way, we're in the 21st. At the turn of the century, when Hollywood was made, in the beginnings, they said, give me $1 a page. Now, what does that mean? Back then, they would give you $1 for every page. For every 10 minutes, that was a dialogue. Okay? So if you had 10 pages, that was $10. If you had 20 pages, that was $20. Mm-hmm. If you had 30 pages, till you get 90 pages, that's $90. Right now, if you write a script, every page you write, you make it 1 minute. That minute is $1. Okay? That's how simple it is. You take that page, and I told John how to do it. You read the page, and you take a clock, a stopwatch, and you read 1 minute into that. If it's a little long, that's okay. But it has to be precisely 10 minutes, because that's how you make and write a script out. I got the Cablevision book here. Now, this is radio, and you don't see it unless you get to see my show out here on Long Island. Actually, I'm in the Woodbury thing. I've shown this book 100 times. They show you how to make a script, how to write scripts out and how to things like that. Now, let's say you write a script. You get the props. I have 4 cameras right now. I have one with me right now, which is my Sharp, which does several digital effects to it. Now, you bring the scripts in, you get the props, we go anywhere. We go into a park. We go into radios. We do anything. The more natural you are, the more natural the movie's going to be. Now, we can do it in black and white, which is getting to be the big thing. We can do it in color, which is getting to be even better. And once we go to the labs, they enhance it. They put things on there. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, to make a good movie, you can do it for less than $5,000. I'm not making this up. All right, people? Let me give you a short story.
Mm-hmm.
Blair Witch Project, they made that movie on $30,000. The kids who went through that thing, they had regular camcorders like I have. They went through the labs and everything else. The picture grossed the first time around, domestically, $50 million. Internationally, $100 million. They did it the second time around. Total, $500 million.
Wait, what the total, you mean for both movies?
Both movies.
Right.
$500 million around the world. Blair Witch, it's a tug twist, the Blair Witch Project 1 and Blair Witch Project 2. $500 million. And they did it for less than $30,000. You can make a movie less than $5,000, and if you hit the right kind of distributors, you hit the right kind of labs, who knows where it's going to take you. All you have to do is sit down, and we can go over it. And if anybody tells you you can't make nothing, that's a big lie. That is a big lie. You can do anything your little heart's desires. I've been in this business on and off for 25 years. Well, I still like it.
Well, have you made movies?
Right now, I'm doing my TV show.
That's
my actual thing right now. Have I ever made movies? No, not really. But right now, I have something coming in the wind. That's why I'm looking for people to sponsor. I'm looking for supporters. I'm looking for anybody who wants to watch my show. Watch my show. My show is on at 12:30 every Saturday on...
I think it's Channel 20.
Channel 20.
Yeah.
Even I forget. I get tongue-tied now lately. Channel 20. And that's when my show comes on. And I sit there and I instruct. Now, don't worry. I look like the short little fat guy you see. But let me tell you something. A lawyer saw my show. You know what he said?
What?
Take your show and make a movie out of it. I says, why? Public access with a heart. If anybody wants to invest in a movie, watch the show once, twice, three times, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Even John Ambrosio, who's right across from me, he saw it. He likes the show. John McGrath, right over there, he saw the show. Even Dave in the booth over here, he saw my show.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons you're physically here. I mean, I've seen a couple of episodes, and they're so charming in their way because you're trying to help people, but it's also very,
and
very
it's called public access,
low-key,
to the heart.
You know? Yeah.
All right? I hope to be on Dave's show before the end of the year, at least two or three more times with, you know, new guests and things like that, and updates.
And I hope there's stuff to update. I mean, I hope you start getting rolling and you get a project together or a couple of, you know, the way Hollywood works, there's always three or four different things in the pipeline and stuff. But before we close out, I just want to make sure everybody knows where they can catch all this stuff. So remind us, John McGrath, about your men's forum is on when?
It's on Monday night in Suffolk County.
Okay.
It's on Friday night in Nassau County. Those are both Channel 20.
Cool.
And we're on, I think, you wouldn't have the viewing audience here anyway, for Manhattan Neighborhood Network on Wednesday afternoons at 4:30.
Right. And actually, I think even if you don't get Manhattan Neighborhood Network in Long Island, which you wouldn't, I think you can go to the MNN website and watch it streaming there. I'm not sure, but I think they have that capability. And so, John, you're just going to be keeping writing, or what? What else is in your life right now?
Well, right now...
John Ambrosio.
Yeah. Right now, this time, I'm also, during the summer, planning to take a course doing nurses assisting. It's a job, you know, where you help people in need, and that I've always been interested in. But, you know, at the same time, this career, hope potential for filmmaking, opportunity if it works out, I definitely like to do.
Well, so, do you want people to contact you in case they have projects or want to share stuff? Do you want to give an email out? Or?
Sure. My email is... Movie Maniac, actually. it's Movie Maniac 12004. That's 12004 at yahoo.com.
Movie Maniac 12004 at yahoo.com. And finally, John DeVito, you have a zillion different contacts things, so give them all.
All right. I have my thing. It's called Fifth Avenue Video, 244 Fifth Avenue, Suite C240, New York, New York, 1001. Here's the phone number. You can get me 24 hours a day. I'll get back to you. 212-726-0441. Fax number, 212-679-2310. I'll give you the phone again. 212-726-0441. Fax number, 212-679-2310.
Email?
My email is patriot3.1@juno.com.
JUNO.com. Right. Right.
And I'll give you the address one more time. Fifth Avenue Video, 244 Fifth Avenue, Suite C240, New York, New York, 1001. I want to hear from you people out there. Let's hear it. Bring in those scripts, huh? Let's make a movie. What are we going to sit on our hands or what?
Oh, man. Well, you've heard it, folks. Three people who are ready to go headlong into the movie and TV industry. John McGrath, John Ambrosio, and, of course, John DeVito. Let's all make a movie, and let's keep listening to the rest of this episode of Dave's Gone By, which will return right after this. Italian, Italian, Chinese, pizza, diner, Italian. You'd figure Long Island would have a wider selection. At least, there's a really good Indian place, the Tandoor Grill, 222 Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center. Entrees of chicken, fish, lamb, vegetarian, and if you mention Dave's Gone By, you get 10% off the bill. Open daily for lunch and dinner, the Tandoor Grill, 516-766-4440. Something different, something good. Do you know how easy and inexpensive it is to advertise on Dave's Gone By? You don't? Well, hey, it's even easier to find out. You can run a 30 or 60 second ad or sponsor one of the segments on this show or the whole show. Just go to our website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By, to see the rate sheet, or call 516-295-1511. Bring your message to my audience. Advertise on Dave's Gone By. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this June 24th, 2004. Recently, we've been doing so many memorials, so many segments dedicated to people who passed Tonight it's kind of nice to do the opposite, a birthday segment instead of a death day segment. First of all, happy birthday to my mom. Tuesday, June 29th, she turns something or other. Love you, Mom. Great seeing you last weekend. May you live to 144, so each potato can give you a mazel tov. I know nobody else listening understands what that means, and believe me, you're better off. But returning to the birthday salutes, many happy returns of a celebrity nature to guitarist Jeff Beck. Nearly 40 years in the music business, and he turned 60 today. Born in England in 1944 to parents who used music on the radio and on a home piano to get them through the stress of World War II. Beck, like so many of his peers, went to art college for a while. I guess that's where all artsy, punky kids wound up when they didn't want to be machinists. But anyway, by the early 60s, Jeff Beck had already mastered the electric guitar and was playing for Screaming Lord Sutch, kind of the English equivalent of Screaming Jay Hawkins, they say, when Beck was tapped to join another band. This blues group was moving in a commercial pop direction, which didn't sit well with its current lead guitarist, a fellow named Eric Clapton. So after one live album, Clapton bailed and recommended Jimmy Page as his replacement. But Page was enjoying life as a studio musician, and he instead recommended Jeff Beck. And so began the most successful period for this pop rock group, the Yardbirds. Yardbirds, Heart Full of Soul, with Jeff Beck on guitar. Beck replacing Eric Clapton in the group, who scoffed at doing songs like Heart Full of Soul and For Your Love because they were too slick and middle of the road. My, how people change. Oh, and by the way, the guy who wrote both of those songs is an unsung veteran named Graham Goldman. He also wrote Bus Stop for the Hollies and No Milk Today for Herman's Hermits before he went on to found 10cc. Goldman was really a Brill Building-style 9-to-5 songwriter, which I guess is what Clapton found so square. Anyway, back to Jeff Beck, who didn't stay with the Yardbirds much longer than Clapton did. Jimmy Page soon joined the outfit, and I guess there wasn't room enough for two lead guitar players, so Beck went off on his own and formed, fittingly enough, the Jeff Beck Group, which was a real, no-frills, down-and-dirty, blues-based rock-and-roll trio. You can hear them backing Donovan on Baraba Joggle and a couple of songs on the GTO's album Permanent Damage. The late 60s lineup of the Jeff Beck Group put out only two albums, but their sound and style ended up being a major influence on hard rock for the next two decades. Maybe it's because the other members of the Jeff Beck Group were Tony Newman on drums, Nicky Hopkins on piano, Ron Wood on bass, and doing the vocal honors, none other than Rachel Hunter's future husband.
I used to walk and take a salary in a hole up near a foundry, but it did not take me too long to
job you see.
The Jeff Beck Group from the Beckola collection of 1969 with Spanish Boots. What's interesting is that even though Beck left Jimmy Page behind at the Yardbirds and his new group featured Ron Wood, the Beck sound of that era is a lot closer to Led Zeppelin than the Rolling Stones. But as I said, that configuration was only destined to last to the end of the decade, which did not finish well for Beck. He had a car crash that laid him up with a head injury for a few months. He regrouped with a totally different lineup for a couple more albums, then formed a power trio with Tim Bogert and Carmine Appice. And then he was off again to something far different. He got heavily into instrumental jazz fusion for a while in the mid-70s, but then moved back towards rock and roll, always experimenting with the sounds of his guitar, bending the notes, using effects and echoes and phasers. Recent years have seen Beck exploring electronic music, as opposed to running scared from it, as a lot of, you know, rootsy rock musicians feel they have to do. And I admit, I was never into Jeff Beck. I've never been big on guitar flair for its own sake, but Beck's musicianship is unquestionable. His skill and melodic gifts, he's able to step out front and blow you away, or hang back and let the lead singer or the group as a whole take the spotlight. So, happy 60th birthday to Jeff Beck. And we'll close the show in a couple of minutes with one more Beck track, perhaps his most commercially recognizable outing, in collaboration with his old pal Rod Stewart. But first, a few thank yous to my collaborators on this Let's Make an Episode of Dave's Gone By. I want to thank the three Johns, John DeVito, John McGrath, John Ambrosio, for being my guests in the Daverhood. Check your local cable public access listings for days and times for Men's Forum, and of course, Let's Make a Movie, or What Are You Sitting on Your Hands, or What? I wish them all success, their own Blair Witch, and of course, $500 million. And thank you to my beloved wife, Joyce, whom I wouldn't trade for $1 million. Or you, my cherished listeners, who are priceless. And speaking of dollars and cents, gotta thank my sponsors, the Tandoor Grill, 222 Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center, for yummy Indian food, mild or spicy, meat or vegetarian, mellow or tangy. The Tandoor Grill has it all. Reservations helpful at 516-766-4440. And if you mention Dave's Gone By, you get 10% off the check. See the menu at tandoorgrill.com. Not tandoori, tandoor. Leave off the last I for Indialicious. And if you need printing and copying and binding and invitations and sandblasting and cow-tipping, visit Hewlett Minuteman Press. 1315 Broadway on the South Shore, 516-569-5577. No job too big or small for the Torong family of Hewlett Minuteman Press. Where mentioning Dave's Gone By gets you a 10% discount as well. So thank you, sponsors and friends of the show with their own shows on this radio station, like Bonnie D. Graham, host of Long Island's Dating, Friday nights at 6, Mr. Redman, bringing you the Redman Music Show, Saturday nights, 7:30 to 9, and then at 9 o'clock, it's Mikey and Jimmy, zany, naughty, bawdy, silly comedy talk, Saturday nights, 9 to 10. And finally, Sunday nights, it's my good friend Joe Salzone, politics, issues, opinions, and laughs, two different shows, 7 o'clock and 10 o'clock, all on WGBB AM 1240 Freeport and AM 1240 WGBB.com. That's where I am every week, Thursday nights, 7 to 8 p.m., as I was tonight. No idea what I'll be doing next week, but that's what makes the show so much fun to do. I'm sure we'll have a News Gone By segment. Kind of took this week off for that, but it'll be back, as will more talk, more music, more whatever it is I do here. And I'll be doing it next Thursday, July 1st, on Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz, Good night. People, get ready. Because I'm gone by.
Heart of mankind, just to say.